To all the haters and naysayers out there who said we'd never make it to episode 86. Well, we did it, baby. Woo! WrestleMania pre-show edition. Oh, yeah.
Welcome to Good Vibes with Chris, Dean, Troy, and Jorge.
Fuck the naysayers, they don't mean a thing.
That's right.
I watched a bunch of stuff.
On this week's episode, we have...
Yeah, did you watch Last Action Hero?
I did. I watched it last week.
I watched it today. A lot to say about it. What's funny is you go back and watch these movies and people that are in it, they weren't that significant then as they are now. So you're like, holy shit, he's in this movie?
Yeah. Like, that happened with Ninja Turtles too. When I watched that, I was like, oh, Sam Rockwell. As a teenager.
With the bad guy in the glass eye dude, that's fucking Targaryen.
He's the best. He's the best part of that movie as well.
Yes, I don't want to say too much about it. I'll wait till movie of the week. But you're it's your turn this week. You get to go twice because we're doing snake drafts.
Yeah, we may change that up too after this last round.
Oh, okay. Almost done with Greek.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I like that one kid that's on that show. He was on the last season of The Office, too.
You're talking about Dale?
Yes.
The nerdy guy?
Mm-hmm. Him and Michael Cera had a web series that was very funny.
He's on... Hot Tub Time Machine as well.
Yeah.
Dale's funny. My favorite character in the whole thing is Cap. Like, based on that movie, if I was going to, or based on that series, if I was going to be in the Greek system, I'd be a Capitao. I think we'd all be Capitao. I don't know. Chris might be Omega Chi. He might want to wear that blue jacket. Be all prim and proper and snoot nose.
Clark Duke is the guy's name.
Started watching... What We Do in the Shadows. I hadn't finished. I hadn't even finished second season yet. What's funny about that, watching Greek, Gregor, the ghost. Uh-huh. Well, he becomes a ghost.
The reincarnated knight. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Evan in Greek.
Yes. And Cappy is from... Veronica Mars, I think.
Yeah, he's in some other stuff. It's a good show. I'm sad they, sad they ended it. But I didn't know it was from 2011.
Yeah, it's been on. It was on a long time ago. On the Family Channel, I think that's what it was.
Yeah.
Do anything this weekend?
Yeah, Emma had her spring show for the Cheyenne.
That's the, what do they call it? Escadrille?
The drill team.
Drill team, yeah.
Yeah, and she She was sad, but she's only five girls out of her whole team made Golden Girls, and she was one of the five.
Oh, congratulations to her. That's awesome.
So she'll be, and she doesn't have to try out again. She can be a Golden Girl for her junior and senior year. So she's excited about that, but she's sad to leave Cheyenne. And then WrestleMania kind of took up most of my time. You know?
Did a lot.
Huh?
I saw a recap on Twitter, I think.
Yeah, I watched the whole thing. Good. Definitely going to get into it as soon as Jorge gets on. Did you do anything this weekend?
Yeah, it was Deacon's birthday.
Okay, what'd y'all do?
We went to dinner at his favorite place to eat, which is Wing Daddy's.
Alright.
Got some ice cream at Baskin Robbins. Got a record player for his birthday. So he got some record.
And he likes music, huh?
Yeah. I mean, he does now. He changes his interests change on a regular basis.
Were you surprised that he asked for a record player?
No.
How old is he now?
13. No, he just turned 14. Oops. Yeah, 14 now. And so he got Kanye West, College Dropout on vinyl.
Oh, wow. It's a good album.
Yeah. And he got Tyler, the Creator's Igor. Childish Gambino album.
Ooh.
And another something else. I can't remember. He got four.
This Is America? Did he get This Is America?
No, he didn't get that one.
That's his best one.
I like all of his. Well, not all of them, but I like that blue one. The blue album? That's what he got.
Yeah, I fucked with Childish Gambino. I don't fuck with Tyler, the Creator. Not a big fan. Everybody says he's a genius. I don't see it, but I mean, I don't hate. I let him do his weird, freaky shit. So.
Awaken My Love. That's the album he got.
Awaken My Love. Awaken My Love from My Loins.
Oh, and he got Because of the Internet. Dude, we got two Childish Gambinos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, speaking of Childish Gambino, I watched the first couple episodes of Atlanta, season 3.
Oh, yeah?
That came out on FX or Hulu. The show is so freaking great. Really good.
That's awesome, man. Me and my wife are talking about starting that next after we're done with Greek.
You'll like it.
Maybe. Is it drama, comedy, a little bit of both?
Both. And some horror. Some parts of it are real creepy. First season is probably the funniest. There's some episodes that are like one-offs.
Yeah.
Just random oddities from the mind of Donald Glover. Real interesting.
All
stuff.
Right.
Yeah, I'm kind of weird. I'm not sure how he gets away with like just the creativity of that, other than he probably has complete creative control.
Yeah. What's the name of the freaking show that I like that's on Netflix? The Asian.
Howdy, everybody.
The Store. Hey, Jorge, did you go to WrestleMania?
I went to WrestleMania.
Oh, wow. How'd you score that?
It's kind of a funny story.
Tell, we're going to start off with WrestleMania anyway, so start us off.
All righty. So, yeah, I was getting severe FOMO on Thursday once I saw the wrestlers coming in. And so on Friday, I put out the APB if anybody wanted to go to like a wrestling match. And one of my old buddies, Paul Andrews, who I used to DJ with, he sent me a message like saying, hey, man, let's go to see the WrestleCon. He had tickets. So I went with him. And yeah, in the morning, we went to go see Kurt Angle, the Lucha Brothers, and the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, man. And mind you, you have to pay, but it was cool. Yeah. I didn't mind dropping the cash to meet these three. If I was going to meet three, these were going to be it. Like, there
how much
was nobody
did you have to pay?
It was $80 for Ric Flair, $80 for Kurt Angle, and $40 and $40 for the Lucha Bros. So right out the gate, I spent $240, right? But it's all good, wow. You know? And then he also had
I was going to go to WrestleCon.
Dude, you should, man. Dang it. Any time to go, it was really, really cool, man. And then I went to WWE Access, and I saw, you know, what they had going on there. And then I ran into somebody I knew and said, hey, you know, by chance, do you happen to have two spare tickets? And he was like, let me ask. And one thing led to another, and we're at WrestleMania.
What night?
Saturday night. Just went for Saturday night.
Okay.
I was, after one night, I was good. It's just that it's a different experience, right? Because you don't hear the commentary. And I feel like the commentary is like synonymous.
So important.
It's like everything, man. It was cool, though. You know, I mean, it was cool to see Stone Cold Steve Austin there. They did not have the top.
Where were you seated?
I was seated right near the floor. I was on the risers. So okay. I actually kind of like that a lot better for the mere fact that, you know, if you sit on the floor, I'm not a very tall guy. And when folks stand up, you know, you can't really see. And
yeah, so
I was on the riser 8 levels up, man. And it was cool, man. It was definitely one for the ages. Definitely did not think I was going to be going to WrestleMania. That
who'd you take with you? You should have called me. Well, I couldn't have gone anyway.
Yeah, my buddy Paul was there. I mean, he had the night off, which was rare for him because he's a DJ. But he's like, I'm going to take the day off. And lo and behold, it went down. So it was kind of crazy. But
that's cool, bro. Yeah, I mean, I watched it. We'll just go ahead and jump right in. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the pre-show. If you don't know, we're talking about WrestleMania. And Jorge had his WrestleMania experiences, which is awesome. Me and Bustos have gone to several events. I've myself gone to umpteenth. I mean, I can't tell you how many wrestling events I've been to. I go all the way back and been to the Sportatorium wrestling events. So, but WrestleMania was this weekend. It was huge.
WrestleMania 38, Dallas,
WrestleMania
Texas.
38, yeah, Dallas, Texas. The second time WrestleMania has been in Texas.
Had it not been for COVID, we probably wouldn't have gotten it back this soon.
Yeah, no doubt. But I'm going to say something that is going to be not popular.
Controversial.
I'm okay with it. I think that at some point it fell flat.
Oh, God.
I do not feel it was the greatest WrestleMania of all time.
No, heck no.
But I do feel that it was the most nostalgic of the Attitude Era, being that you gave main event status and double exposure to two superstars. Of course, I'm talking about The Undertaker and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Stone Cold had more of an active part. He was in both nights doing what Stone Cold did. Now, when he fucking kicked Pat McAfee in the nuts, I was with Pat, and I didn't like it, but I knew it was coming. but he did his normal shit. His last, this was, you know, WrestleMania 38 is where the Attitude Era came to die.
Wow, you said it.
Because you had Triple H, and I'm fast forwarding to the second night, night two, but Triple H, you know, bringing out his boots and putting his boots in the ring. And understand something, people. My favorite all-time wrestler, like, I got my old school guys like Jake the Snake and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Those are my dudes. Hulk Hogan's my dude. But the guy that I ran when I really embraced wrestling and I became a young man and really embraced wrestling, I've been with Triple H since Terror Rising in WCW, which was terrible. That was his name in WCW. I've been with the Blue Blood when he came out and he had his little skull and he walked around with his little ponytail and his red little ribbon. And my dude, right? Because I saw something then. When he came out and put those boots down, you know, I will say this real quick. I think both of them should have come out in costume just one last time. That's my opinion. You know,
yeah,
they both chose to come out in a suit. Now, Stone Cold came out in his normal shit. But when he did his whole thing, you know, the ropes thing, the spit in the water thing, you know, I just, it would have been more for me if he just came out with the motherfucking sledgehammer and just did it one last time and then took off his boots and put them in the ring. Right?
Right.
Yeah. And that would have been dope. But for him doing that, that was the end. That was Triple H is the last one, bro. He's the last one to do it. Everybody else, the Click, HBK, Bret Hart, everybody else is done. Yeah. Right? Triple H is the last one to do it, bro.
Yeah.
And the fact that he did it, Not only did one of the most prolific and amazing rattlesnakes, bastards, sons of bitch, not only did he get that, right? Uh-huh. He got Stone Cold, one of the most iconic Attitude Era guys coming out for his last ride. First match in 19 years, right? This was his last ride, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, it was... I'll get to that in 1 second when I'm trying to make a point. But then Triple H got the end of the most amazing wrestler of all time.
Okay,
not
so
my
yeah.
favorite, but the end of Undertaker.
Well, listen, man.
The end of
When I think of the Attitude Era, I think of the Holy Trinity, and I think it is The Rock, Stone Cold, and Triple H. Now, I know Undertaker is good, but he wasn't the full meal deal. Like, his wrestling, I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. I hated his style of wrestling. It wasn't flashy, right? So, he's a great, Undertaker's great, but yeah, keep going.
Triple H
Triple H is great, but I mean, Triple H... I'm sorry. What I'm trying to say is when you say Triple H's name, you have to include Stone Cold and The Rock is all I'm saying.
You know, and I agree, but even The Rock's done. You know, The Rock said his goodbye. He might come back and hold a mic, but nobody from that era is really wrestling anymore. The wrestling is over, right? You might talk in a mic, but that's it. And that's what Triple H, that was the end of that, you know, because of, you know, and one of the main reasons because of recent medical problems, you know, and it was just prolific. But you have all that, and I'm sorry I'm long-winded, but this is Wrestle Fucking Mania, and it's wrestling, and, it's my passion.
The pre-show, go ahead.
Yeah, and that's why I brought it on pre-show. Get it done in pre-show. Got some time. But you had all that. You had these three prolific guys in the chapter in the book of wrestling, right? Mm-hmm. That chapter is over. We're now in the new. So then we get to the new. And it was flat and gimmicky. And understand something. I'm an AEW guy. I don't have in WWE, I don't have a guy that I say that's my guy. All my guys went to AEW. Dean Ambrose, who's now John Moxley. That's my guy. Fucking Hangman Page from New Japan, AEW now. That's my guy. He's actually current champion. I'm wrong. Until Saturday night. Because Saturday night, my guy showed up and he became my guy like no other.
Yeah.
And that is Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes, the American fucking nightmare, comes out of nowhere, up from the depths of hell, and ruins Seth Rollins' night. And I fucking hate Seth Rollins. I'm a Dusty Rhodes guy. My dad was a Dusty Rhodes guy. We love the working man, the son of a plumber. So naturally, when his kids came out, you know, it was kind of like we're supposed to love them. I enjoyed Goldust until he got gimmicky. I think Dustin is an amazing wrestler. Then we get to Cody. Cody is the most try-hard that I've ever seen, because when he first was in WWE, I'm going to tell you right now, Cody wasn't good. He was a mediocre wrestler.
He got better on the mic.
Yeah. But now Cody has the ability to be top dog. And he's proven that. And I think he's right where he belongs. I think he's right where his daddy belongs. I think it was a great match. You got that injury to Boog. I thought that was scripted at first, but after going back, there's no way, because he just falls. Like,
Are you talking about the first match?
Yeah, the tag team Shinsuke and Boog.
Yeah, dude. I was like, man, that was kind of weak, man. When I was watching it live,
because he really got hurt, and that's why commentary is so good, because they give you the updates. But he tore his ACL and MCL or some shit.
Ooh, dang!
And so that was a mediocre match. What else did we have that night? I mean, the main event, we kind of already talked about KO and Stone Cold. It was supposed to be... I liked how they did that. I'll give them that much. They get a few brownie points from me there, how they tricked me and said it was just going to be an altercation. So I thought it was just going to be them jawing each other and Stone Cold was going to fucking rock, fucking kick him in the nuts and be done with it. Mm-hmm. And...
yeah, that was pretty cool seeing that. You know, the energy when he came out, it was awesome.
Yeah, when KO fucking challenged him to a fight, and he had 78,000 Dallas Texans. Well, probably 50,000 Dallas Texans. But 78,000 people screaming, you know, fight this motherfucker. And that was it was dope. It was dope. Yeah. The match itself was kind of meh. Stone Cold is old. He missed a lot of cues. His match when he came out and fucking stunned
Vince McMahon.
Yeah, he missed it. You go back and look. He missed it. He didn't. He never got it.
Yeah. So I started leaving. When that was going on. I was like, I do not want to be in traffic. So.
Well, McMahon was Sunday.
Okay. Well, there you go.
That was Sunday. When did you leave? Did you left when he was fighting KO?
No, I left right after he had pinned KO.
Okay, yeah, that was pretty much the end. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, man. I mean, it was cool, you know, and then you walk out and the fireworks go off. But I'll just be honest. It didn't feel very WrestleMania-y, if that makes any sense. Like, it was...
It feels more WrestleMania when you're at home and you're watching it on your fucking TV and they're adding all that extra shit and the sound of the pyro and everything.
Yeah.
It's just... There's something about it, and I told my wife, you know, she said, babe, do you want me to get you that for your birthday 1 year, go to WrestleMania? And I'm like, fuck no.
Yeah.
I don't, one of my most favorite thing about wrestling is the commentary.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, most definitely. You know, I was walking in that WrestleCon, and I walked by Jerry the King Lawler. It was awesome. Mm. I gave him a fist bump. You know, he was ready to get the fuck out of there, but.
Yeah.
Well, the cool thing now is you can go to the show with the Peacock app in on your phone, and you can listen to the commentary while you're on at the show from your phone.
I guess you could, yeah. I wanted to go to WrestleCon. There was a shit ton of wrestlers, and they're there. They were there.
Yeah.
Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. But I don't have that kind of money.
Yeah. Well, dude, I'll tell you, Ric Flair was charging $80, and he did 1,892. Autograph. So that was like $151,000 right there. And then once the agency takes their fee, he still probably cleared like $100,000.
Was there a line for Ric Flair?
Oh yeah, there was a line for Ric Flair. Yeah.
Yeah. Those are the only three wrestlers at WrestleCon when you went?
No, there was tons of them. I mean, shoot, I was trying to get a doggone TikTok going of it, but did you follow me on Instagram? I posted a lot of them. Sergeant Slaughter.
I don't do Instagram.
Ray Phoenix. Samurai. Lager. I think it's a Chinese wrestler. Luger. Yeah, Luger. Lager. But, there was a bunch of them, dude. Too many to, Regler was there.
Regal
was there. Johnny Mundo.
William Regal was there.
William Regal was there. Yeah. Then, it was literally amazing seeing that many wrestlers there. It was ridiculous. Even if you just got to say hi to them and fist bump them, I thought that was cool.
They let you go up and say hi to them and shit?
Yeah. I was like, I just want to say hi. Can I just say hi? And yeah, no pictures. Cool.
That's dope.
Yes.
You guys remember whenever I think William Regal was like the valet for the manager for the British Bulldog. And he never fought, and then all of a sudden he like jumped in one time with his suit and it was like he's like all huge muscular underneath.
Yeah, he's a wrestler. He's always been a wrestler. William Regal is an amazing wrestler. His mic skills outdo most people. I mean, what he can do on the mic is insane. You know, he's in AEW right now, fucking managing John Moxley and Brian Daniels.
I did see Johnny Mundo or Johnny Morrison. I don't know. What's he going by right now?
John Morrison, probably.
Okay. Anyhow, he shows up there. And I'm like, hey, man, how's it going? And he asked me where, like, Tag was or Teague. I don't know who the hell it was. Anyhow, so I go back, and I had a video of him and I together when we were in Brownsville, Texas. He was doing a show for us. And I was like, hey, man, check this out. This was us, you know, so many years ago. He's like, yeah, man, right on. Didn't really care. So I thought.
Yeah. That's kind of who he is.
Yeah.
You know who's really cool, who surprised the fuck out of me? Who thought was going to be a prick? Jake the Snake Roberts. I don't go around wrestlers because I get fucking stalkerish. Yeah. You know, it's that much to me, right? It means
it's
that much.
It's real to me, damn it.
So, like, when he came to our store and I was on Jake the Snake, like, fucking... flies on shit, and you know, at the end of the day, he turns around and he's like, you know what, bro, I think I was here for you today. And I was like, are you fucking kidding me, bro? And then he just gives me a whole bunch of free shit and takes a bunch of pictures. And like, I'm like, Jake the Snake, you're a fucking amazing man.
That's really cool,
amazing,
man.
Amazing man.
Well, you, have you seen his life story? Like, it's pretty sad. And it's sad. I think out of he's the wrestler that I kind of know a little bit more in depth about just by watching the document. He was in several documentaries. Like, he was in one documentary about wrestling, and then I saw another documentary where it was him and two other wrestlers, and it talked about like how his sister was raped by their dad, and just some of the most god-awful, horrific growing up conditions ever. So, yeah.
Wow, that's terrible. Yeah, he's rough, and you can see it in his face, but great guy. And I know there was times I was annoying him, but he never let me, he never let it on. He never told me to go away.
Yeah, Jake the Snake was there too.
Yeah, I know. Him and Hacksaw. Yeah. I met Hacksaw too, did the same thing to Hacksaw. Hacksaw was great.
Trish Stratus was there.
Big titties.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, man.
Oh, shit. Dean Myatt's coming to the show. Double dose of Dean, double dip, baby. That's kind of weird.
So what are you, are you on the Zoom call using another login, or are you on the Zoom call just to have it do that?
I'm trying to switch over. Hold on.
You're trying to switch over from your phone to
That is so crazy. Life in different angles.
Yeah. If I have two cameras, should I try doing that? Oh, well.
I mean,
you're able to just switch between them?
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you have one of them on mute?
I have my phone on mute, I think.
No, I hear a reverb.
Yeah, it's weird.
That is weird. Can you hear it? Do I have a do I have a reverb?
No.
Uh-oh. We're now in a horror movie. Hello? Hello? Say something, Dean. Say something like, I'm going to kill you. Let's see if that, how that sounds. Obviously, we're doing this for mic check, because he's making a sound like that of a horror movie. If you're just joining us, Dean sounds like a horror movie. Dean, say something.
Hello?
Oh, very
weird. Because I'm weird, on mute.
Weird.
I'm going to kill you. You.
You're going to die.
Oh, man.
My dick is big.
Okay. All right. No. Take that one out, Chris.
Why?
Because we can't be talking about. We don't want to get canceled. Anyhow. What was I going to say? Well, while you're figuring that out, Dean, I forgot what I was talking about. And
We were talking about WrestleMania and wrestlers.
Okay. Oh, yeah. So wrestlers. Yeah. It was cool.
That's dope.
I had fun, man. You know, it was nostalgic. Again, if it wouldn't have been in my backyard, I would not have gone. And it was the wrestling matches. I'm sorry. A lot of them were very, very lame. But I will say, Jake Paul surprised me.
Yeah, and what didn't surprise me is The Miz turning his back on him.
Yeah.
Knew that was going to happen. I want to talk about the fucking Johnny Knoxville fight.
I didn't see it, but go ahead.
You didn't watch WrestleMania last night?
I did not, but go ahead. I watched the Grammys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, fuck the Grammys. Y'all can go solo on that. If I don't want
to
talk about
No. Keep on finishing. You were about to say something about WrestleMania. Keep it going.
Oh, the Johnny Knoxville fight, man. That was like some old folk crap. Johnny Knoxville looked like an old ass man fucking out there fighting. And, you know, wee man fat than a motherfucker now.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Wasn't that sad?
Oh, man. So, yeah, that was. pretty terrible. The RK Bro triple threat match is actually really good. The women's tag title match was all right. You know, my kids like the Boss, so it was cool to see her win, and it's cool to see her as a face again. I'm a face guy. You know, there's not many heels that I like. I mean, Big Van Vader is one of the main heels that I've liked in the past, you know, but and that was Kurt cool. Angle.
Do you consider Kurt Angle a heel?
Oh yeah, he's one of the best.
I think he's
an anti-heel.
Yeah, like, I've never seen anybody do it like this. So
he's a hero that was forced into being a heel. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, that was the whole gimmick. And, you know, he's this gold medalist and this Olympic medalist. And he comes out and he's supposed to be this hero. And instead, everybody clowns him. You know what I mean? When his song comes out, you suck. Yeah. That was a crowd-created thing because, you know, everybody loves to hate him. But they'll also get behind him. In a fight, if he's playing face, they'll get behind him in a fight. So I'm trying to think what other matches. Nobody gives a fucks about Bobby Lashley or Osmos. That was last night. Don't care about that. Not a big fan. You know, I've watched every single WrestleMania there is.
Yep.
And this one, you're right, just didn't feel... It felt WrestleMania-ish, but like I said, I'm going to stick to my guns. This WrestleMania is where the Attitude Era came to die.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So...
I agree. There was nothing spectacular about it. I mean, the matches were subpar. I remember when WrestleMania was here last time and Shane McMahon wrestled. Who did he wrestle? RVD?
When he came off the cage, who was a KO?
Wrestling
KO.
Okay. Well, there you go. He was wrestling KO, and that was amazing. Like, that was worth the price of admission. But... there was nothing like that at this. I mean, yeah, it was cool to see Stone Cold Steve Austin again. It was like the who's who of wrestling. But yeah, for the most part, you know, I was happy to be there. I was happy and grateful for the seats. It was a great showing of all of the old folks and stuff. So you know what? I give it a B+.
I give it a C-. You're not going to get that hardcore edgy shit that we got back in the 90s and the 2000s.
Yeah, I guess
WWE has become a family company, meaning it's family entertainment now. So you're only going to see a little bit of blood. Right. Like Randy had some blood on his face, probably because it actually happened. They don't cut themselves like they do in other federations. Because another federation, I mean, if you ever see an old wrestler, look at his forehead. You're going to see fucking lines.
Yeah.
Those are cut lines.
Ric Flair, just look. I couldn't even look Ric Flair in the face. He was just that tore up.
I mean, Ric Flair's old as fuck, though.
Yeah. But golly, I just remember some of those matches where he's bleeding. And I'm like, how is that even fun? But it was cool. Shout out to all the wrestlers that came out.
Yeah, it was huge. Cutting was huge back in his days.
Yeah, so now that Triple H is retiring, you think WWE is going to go down even further?
Seems like it, man. Like, it just depends on how much control McMahon lets Triple H have, because Triple H has made NXT into a household name. I mean, you know, he's really taking these young wrestlers and because that's what NXT is like WWE independent, you know? It's their version of independent wrestling, and it's good. I watched their little pay-per-view Saturday morning. It was live. It was decent. Dolph Ziggler, who's actually a WWE superstar for a long time, is now the NXT champion. I think when you let Triple H grab a hold of something, memorable things can happen. And so it's just up to McMahon. McMahon's old as fuck and, you know, like, needs to give up creative control. But
yeah,
if they let him have more control, WWE is going to just continue to rise. But if they don't, they're going to fall flat on their face like they've been doing, releasing all these great.
I know.
Okay. Did you not see us, like, trying to get
to the pitch? Yeah, and I was trying to talk to you, and it wasn't working.
Oh. Well, you should have used Morse code.
I just hung up and called back.
Okay. Well, now you're back.
Yeah, so...
Wait, are y'all still talking about wrestling?
No, I think we're done. I know we're pretty much wrapped up. Let's talk about the Grammys. Okay.
Well, hold on. Are we recording?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll just let me say this about WrestleMania, and then we can be done with it.
All right.
We came. We saw.
Yeah.
All right, Grammys, go.
All right, Grammys. I caught, you know, Billie Eilish's performance of, I forgot what song she sang, but it was awesome. And I really, really enjoyed it. And apparently, like, SZA and Dua Lipa, or I don't know who... But they won a song for, like, best duet, and, like, she totally, like, dug into her panty crotch because she had just gotten done using the restroom. And
was that what that was? I did not understand.
Yeah, was it SZA and Dua Lipa, or I don't know, Doja Cat? No, I think it was Doja Cat. Yeah, Doja Cat and SZA. They won an award, a Grammy. It was just crazy to see her dig. And, like, anything goes now on television, you know? Like, totally no class whatsoever. So, but it was a cool, from the looks of it, it was really cool. You know, I'd never heard of, you know, Chris, was it Stapleton, some of his music that he had on there, some artists that I didn't know who they were. So I need to get back into the pop culture and know who these artists are. You know what I mean? Did you watch any of Dean?
I just watched some clips earlier. I really liked the dancing that Silk Sonic did, mm-hmm. which was Bruno Mars, Anderson .Paak, and The Mile. Those guys, for their songs. Pretty funny. They pretty much swept with, they got the best song, best record, best, no, I didn't get best album. Yeah. That Bruno Mars, man. He's like a
coolest guy in the world.
Yeah, he kind of is the coolest guy in the world.
Like a little too cool. Like, he was rocking it yesterday.
He's going to end up like icon status, like in the Dolly Parton realm.
Yeah, like people are going to make t-shirts of him and crap. Like, if I rocked a Bruno Mars t-shirt, it'd be like somebody rocking a Jimi Hendrix t-shirt. You know what I mean? Just so cool. He made a thin mustache look and a Jerry curl.
Yeah,
look, he's got a thin mustache and a Jerry curl. And fuck, I was fanboying, you know? I really was. What's his name? The guy, the president of Ukraine. He got on there and made a speech.
Ukrainian president?
Yeah, the Ukrainian president. What's his name?
I couldn't tell you. Oh. I've seen his movie. It's on Netflix.
Oh, yeah. Vladimir Zelensky, yes. He got up there and he gave a message for, you know, peace and stop it. And I felt like that kind of fell on deaf ears. You know.
The award shows, I don't think they bring to light anything new. Like, you know, the people shout out their causes and make speeches, but a lot of times I don't remember, you know, I don't think they do as much good as people think.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very subjective. I mean, like, how do you rate the best song out there? You know what I mean? Like,
well, I mean, basically metrics can tell you, you know.
Okay. Well, if that's
but I don't know if that's necessarily what the Grammys have always done. Like, yeah, this is the best song, but I mean, if you look at it, it's like, okay, well, these are the best selling songs. And they also happen to all have Grammys as well. That's not always the case, but it's not like they're picking stuff off the bottom of the charts.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Grammy award winning artist. That just has such a nice ring to it. Anyhow. So, yeah, they were good. I'm just always blown away by the live performances. Halsey did a song, and that, I mean, all of them, whenever you do it live, it's just another element, and it just seems like all the artists are really stepping up their game, and I just wish I could be that talented like them, you know, and do the dancing and the choreography, you know?
Yeah, just really choreography, cool stuff. I always think that choreographed dances are pretty impressive.
Yeah. And not only that, but you have to have your crew there. Like, each one of those artists has a team. And mm-hmm. I don't understand how all that chaos is happening in the backstage. Like, there's got to be a gajillion people. You know, you have the agent, you have the this, the that, you have the makeup artist, then you have the wardrobe person, then you have hair, then you have, you know, it's
like, yeah, you have to have a team. You do, like, you do one national tour. Yeah. You know, you hit 20 cities in 20 weeks or 20 cities in 10 weeks. Your team has that all down now at this point.
Yeah, but when you when you have that many artists in the back, like, I mean, that's like not normal to have that many artists' teams. Like, on, you're talking about like a normal night where there's one costume director for everybody. These people have their own individual, like, if a nail breaks, they better be able to fix that shit right then and there style. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is a lot of organized chaos, but I mean, mm-hmm. also they're the best in the world. All those people are the best in the world at what they do.
Mm-hmm. And I thought it was really cool that they were allowing the people who work for the artists to say something about their bosses. And it was just kind of amazing to see how, you know, much the people who work for the artists, it was just cool. You know, you never see that element, right? You know, this is my boss. She's going to sing you a song. I'm the tour manager. I manage everything on the tour. Like, I'm like, damn, I bet you that job is very, very, very stressful, you know? So, Shout out to everybody that didn't have a job during COVID. Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So Grammys were cool.
Obama was nominated for a Grammy.
Was he?
Yep. For a spoken word album. So was LeVar Burton.
LeVar Burton?
Uh-huh.
Lady Gaga performed last night. Like, that's always, I guess, her and Tony Bennett, like, did a thing.
Yeah, I think they fucked before. I think they're doing or something. There's something weird there because they've done many albums together and something weird there.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's weird. She's weird, but whatever. Weird in a good way.
Bo Burnham won a Grammy for one of his songs on Inside. Let's see, comedy album, Louis C.K. won.
Whoa, that's crazy.
Hey, the Grammys give no shits.
Yeah. But, did Trevor Noah say anything about the Will Smith thing?
He did. In the intro, he said, "We're going to have a good time. We're gonna listen to some music. We're gonna give out awards. We're gonna keep people's names out of our mouths. Everybody's gonna have a good time.
Nice.
Say that again.
It's not verbatim, but he said, you know, we're gonna have a good time. We're gonna listen to some music, and we're gonna keep people's names out of our mouths, and everyone's gonna have a great time. Yeah.
Pause for laughter, and everybody's gonna have a good time. It's funny that you mentioned that because, you know, that monologue, because Saturday Night Live had a rendition of what happened.
I had like three or four different segments on it.
Yeah.
Right?
It was awesome. Yeah. The, let's see, it was hosted by...
Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah, exactly. And Gunna was the musical host. I'd never heard of this guy, but let me tell you. He got up there and did a monologue, and he murdered it. Like
Gerard Carmichael?
Yeah.
He just came out as gay right before that, too.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to see this monologue that he did. It's literally amazing. You couldn't have asked for a better host to give their two shits about what happened than this guy. Watch the monologue. It's amazing.
Yeah, it was very good. He was funny in the first couple of skits that I saw him in. Mm-hmm. Were funny. He had a show called Carmichael that was on for like 1 second. The Carmichael Show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he had that girlfriend and what's his name? Was his father from In Living Color?
Was it his dad? Was it David Alan Greer?
Yeah, David Alan Greer.
Yeah, and Lil Rel was on there.
Yep.
And Tiffany Haddish. His brother. And Amber Stevens West from Greek. There you go, Troy. She was his girlfriend.
Oh, the Ashley chick. Oh, yeah!
Yeah.
Holy shit, I just put that together. Holy shit, that was Ashley.
I watched a special this weekend as well on HBO. It was pretty good. It wasn't, I wasn't like crying from laughing, but I mean, it wasn't all like just straight jokes either.
Mm-hmm. It had real stuff about real world.
Yeah, it was more on the, I guess, Hannah Gatsby side of stand up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but this is his third stand up special. He's
cool, man.
He's written for a lot of shows.
Yeah, well, they did a couple of parodies. They used O.J. Simpson to talk about what love will make you do crazy things. That was all right. It was a good episode, you know.
The jokes I like were Colin Jost's joke, where it's like a set of precedent for what husbands have to do to stand up for their wives at award shows, which was only funny and because it was him telling it, as he is married to Scarlett Johansson.
Yes.
And
yeah. Well, it's scary. It's a scary time for comedians. I tell you what, that just opened the floodgates.
They've always got their issues. I mean, they'll survive. Everybody's
fine. Well, it's crazy because I kind of look at it as the airline effect. Like before you saw these people losing their shit on airlines, right, and getting recorded, like it happened once and you were like, oh my God, did you see that? Now it's just a regular occurrence. So now you're just going to see this regularly happening to comedians.
Did you see that since this happened, Chris Rock's ticket sales have been on the rise,
yeah,
and Will Smith has flopped. Netflix is talking about
yeah, so his stock is definitely falling, right? Like stupid.
Yeah, Netflix and Apple Plus were bidding for a biopic about Will Smith's life, and they've since withdrawn the bidding.
Nice. Well,
and Sony pulled out of some projects, or at least they've been paused.
Well, he did it to himself.
He'll survive. I mean,
she's the devil.
Yeah, I'll never talk to her either after this incident. That family is dead to me.
Yeah.
You hear me?
Dead to me. Not getting invited to any functions that I'm throwing.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, so here's the quote of the week.
What we've got here is failure to communicate.
You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending. That is a quote by C.S. Lewis, the author of
Hallmark cards.
Many of the things. The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, probably the most familiar. Oh, okay. And the Screwtape Letters.
So say one more time for our viewers, the quote of the week.
You can't go back and change the beginning, but you can start where you are and change the ending.
Yes. I feel a lot of us are starting over. Do you feel a little bit more optimistic going into spring? I mean, it kind of sucks that we have the war in Russia going on, but for the most part, I feel pretty optimistic.
Yeah. I mean, good weather every time you go outside is, mm-hmm. you know, ideally just add something to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, yeah, I'm feeling better about life these days. I'm not working overtime as much as I was, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I just want to get out and do stuff more. So that's good.
Yeah. No, I mean, I feel really good right now about where things are going, you know. What else?
Other thing from the brand
of the week.
The Foo Fighters, yeah, we got to start that like right away. The Foo Fighters are now the most Grammy award-winning band from America ever.
Do you think they got the Grammys because their drummer died? Do you think that?
No, I think they put out the best rock album, probably. Well, I mean, Black Pumas is really good. And Chris Cornell's album was very good. But
Chris Cornell's dead.
Yeah, and they put out an album earlier this year called No One Sings Like You Anymore, Volume 1. Pulled out covers from the vault. It's such a good album.
You know, there are people that hate him. Like
Chris Cornell?
Yeah.
I have not met any of those people.
I've met a few. I can bring one on the show if you want me to.
He's probably my favorite grunge era singer of all time.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Black Hole Sun is still one of my most favorite songs of all time.
Yeah. I could literally, every time he does a cover of anything, it's my favorite cover almost immediately. And I got real, real sad when he died.
Hey, that's how I felt, how you felt when Meatloaf died. I got really sad.
Yeah, I don't usually get impacted by that. Chris Cornell and Norm Macdonald's deaths. Those are ones that I got real sad about.
Yeah, rough. Rough. All right, movie of the week.
All right. So, Troy, you chose
Last Action Hero.
Of the week.
Did you watch it, Jorge?
I did watch it. It was actually the first time I've ever watched it.
Sorry. It's an action slash comedy. The running time is 2 hours and 10 minutes. It stars Arnold Schwarzenegger, Austin O'Brien, Charles Dance, and several others, but those are the F. Murray Abraham as well. So, and Frank McRae as the lieutenant. Okay, so this movie was made in 1993. It had a budget of $85 million. The screenplay was by Shane Black, and it was produced by John McTiernan. It's like a send-up of 80s and 90s action films, really.
Yeah,
starring
yeah.
their number one star, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Does he get a pass for this one? Because this was like, how did this make it through to the script to make it to him?
I think
maybe. I don't know. It's, you know,
it had like it was written for him.
Yeah.
Like, just, we can make this movie if Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone will do it. Mm-hmm. And Sylvester Stallone in 1994 had already done a couple comedies that didn't go great. So, I mean, this movie doesn't get made unless one of them two is in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, regardless, it just seemed like it was a sponsor's dream of a movie to, I mean,
it was cliche of
action. Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, it's a parody or a stand up.
But the kid actor, I think, is what ruined the whole thing. Like, if they would have had a better kid actor, I think it could have been a lot.
I don't think there was a better kid actor in existence at the time.
That kid has not made us a movie since that movie.
What? That can't be true.
Okay, well, I don't know. Who is that kid?
His name is Austin O'Brien.
Okay, yeah, he never made another movie afterward. That
he made a movie. His last movie was... You know, he was in Bones, the TV show.
Okay, exactly. So he never made another movie.
He was in Touched by an Angel, a TV show for a long time. Well, no, maybe not. Anyway, several episodes of Touched by an Angel. And he made a couple movies after that, yeah. The Babysitter's Club was his last movie as a child.
Well, there you go.
He was in Lawnmower Man, too. Beyond Cyberspace.
So basically that was career suicide by doing that movie for him.
I mean, your kid, he can do whatever he wants after that. I don't know if that's like career suicide. He was also in My Girl too.
Yeah.
He did fine in the 90s.
How much did he get paid for this movie?
I have no idea.
Oh, we got to find that out. Have to. Okay, so anyway, so let's talk about the movie. In it, Arnold Schwarzenegger...
Hold on, real quick. My bad, I was on mute and I was talking the whole time. The kid actor's on a series, well, it's a movie series called Prehistoria. It's about little dinosaurs.
Uh-huh.
It was one of those B movies that actually kind of got a cult following.
Huh.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about the movie. I mean, I thought we were done. Like, there's not much to say. It's fucking Arnold Schwarzenegger. It's a cliche action movie, right? Every cliche that's in an action movie you saw in it. You have the magic ticket, which I thought was cool and imaginative when I was a kid. The villain, is Targaryen. It's great. He's a great villain.
Benedict, the one eye, the black guy with the glass eye. Yeah, he is the best part of the movie. It's the only part that I'm like, yes, that is actually something that if someone found a magic ticket that would take them to dimensions and they were an evil person, this is what they would do. You know,
yes.
Go into different movies and get the bad guys out of those movies.
And looks like it was filmed entirely in New York.
What? No, yeah. That can't be right. It's definitely an LA movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. It looked New York-y.
No.
Okay. My bad.
I didn't think it looked New York-y at all.
Okay.
I thought Arnold Schwarzenegger's house was definitely California.
Oh, yeah, you're...
There's a couple of jokes where, you know, F. Murray Abraham is in it as the FBI agent, and the kid is like, that guy killed Mozart, man. You can't trust him. He's like, what are you talking about? From Amadeus. The screenplay was written by Shane Black, who wrote Die Hard. Michael Bustos Esquire.
Ladies and gentlemen, up next is Chris Bustos.
Did you make a whole new login?
No, I've new login. What are you talking about?
I'm just wondering, because that's not what I left your name on.
Welcome, welcome, my good buddy.
Christopher real Michael quick. Bustos Esquire.
Esquire.
Real quick, just a few seconds we can spare it. What was your quick synopsis and rundown of WrestleMania?
Oh, thanks. So I thought
so night got one over an hour of wrestling content already.
I'm sure they FYI. Did. I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. First night match was the women's championship match. Becky is EST. And I thought that match was amazing. I would have to say that that final match, the Brock Lesnar match, that match was well. Those are my two favorite. That's all I got
to
say.
And I didn't say this. I forgot to say because we didn't talk about the Becky match very much. But Becky looks terrible.
You're ridiculous.
I think she's
you
terrible.
Lose all credibility with that statement. You yeah, talked an hour me. About wrestling. Threw out your credibility in 2 seconds. Congratulations.
Because I think she looked terrible. I don't like her hair like that.
Oh, you're talking about her physical appearance, bro?
Yeah. I thought okay. I thought that
that's a good idea too. That's an even better so idea.
Stupid. This is the worst show ever. Going on record right now.
This is a great show. What are you talking about?
Yeah, that was gonna say, so if you think it was the worst show. Somebody here thinks it was the best show.
It's the yeah. worst show ever, and we've all agreed that WrestleMania wasn't even that good this year.
Yeah,
but it was stop worth us from talking about it for an hour.
I too, Jake Paul was a highlight too. I'm sure y'all trashed him. But
yeah,
he was
yeah, I did. No. I said Jake Paul was pretty impressive.
Dude, yeah, he. Well, that's the thing about that. You got to be careful about that. And here's just a little.
He's been fake fighting for 2 years now.
He's been fake fighting for 2 years now, but when you bring somebody in. Do that well, that kind of exposes your business. And so I'm sure there's gonna be some guys in the back about how well he
whoa, did. whoa, what are you trying to say there?
So you can't essentially come off the streets and be as good or better than some people on the shouldn't be allowed, and that they would protect the business. And in the back in the day, if he tried in the 80s, they would have fucking broke his leg.
Hey, well, let me tell you something. I thought it was pretty cool to see Johnny Knoxville. Like, he terrible. Did pretty well, too.
Yeah. Like,
terrible.
Wee Man. I mean, are you kidding me?
Okay, Wee Man did really well.
Wee Man is fat now.
Yeah, but he body slammed what that.
What
do
you do with body shaming all these people, Troy?
I'm not body
shaming. He's not body shaming Wee Man. He just didn't like his hair.
That way. His makeup.
Wee Man looks weeful. No, right on, but right it was just crazy. I'm just like, my God, man! Like these cats are actually doing pretty good.
And that's what I'm saying. So you got to kind of stuff because you don't want to give the, you know, action that it's that easy.
Yeah, but I thought it was easy. More gimmicky. I mean, there was good points to it. I mean, like I said, it's where the Attitude Era came to die. WrestleMania 38. You know, it's Triple yeah. H retires, you know, Undertaker's done.
What else? So did you guys get anything and, else in?
Yeah, we were in the middle of just
movie of the week.
Last Action Hero.
Yeah, Last Action Hero. We were just starting. Yes. We talked about it for about 5 minutes.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, and we talked about how that movie, we talked about how that movie sucked.
Not a fan. Nobody was a fan of it.
I didn't like it when I was a kid.
I liked it. I didn't hate it.
The bad guy. I thought the bad guy was good.
Yeah, amazing. He's an amazing bad guy. I remember him. The Eddie Murphy movie, The Golden Child. Good.
Yeah,
so that's a bad guy. But no, I think that the thing that I think
it's
that,
Lannister. That's old man Lannister.
Yeah, Tywin Lannister. I think one of the things I really enjoy about this movie is that it's all about, you know, the breaking the third wall. It's all about a wink to the audience. It's all. Funny cliches in movies and really breaking down, you know, the things that we love, making fun of it and lampooning that a little bit. I think that was one of the, you know, I'm sure there was a movie beforehand, But this was the first time, I think, where they took a big, giant action movie star and took a big, giant action movie and turned it on its head and made it something different.
We kind of concluded that this movie would not have gotten made without Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone.
100%.
And Sylvester Stallone even has the cameo as the T2 Terminator guy.
But were they real knee slappers, you know, the jokes that they were doing?
I like how everybody
compared, compared against other movies, right?
There was no good look. There was no bad looking people in the entire movie. Even like
but the that video was on purpose. And talk about it.
Talk about it.
The ugly bad guy in the beginning.
Mm-hmm. I like.
But he's a bad guy.
It's about the 555 number. I think that shit was cool.
Oh yeah. Uh huh.
That's why we have Area.
Honestly, there's people that just don't even fucking think about that kind of stuff, you know. And I think that's the fun of this movie is. It's like, it was definitely made by people who love fucking movies, right? Love action flicks. Yeah. And mm-hmm. to celebrate that. And it like turned it almost into like a weird Willy Wonka, Vaz kind of, you know, whole thing. Cause you do have to suspend your disbelief. There's all, you know, stuff that you have to kind of just accept. But I think that's
a fun movie.
Once you do that, then you just enjoy the ride, really.
Yeah, and that's what I thought. It was a fun movie.
And the advancement in prosthetics, you know, it has to be given. I don't know if they were doing regular, you know, glass eyes before then. And after this movie, the glass eye game, you know, really took it up a notch.
Now those glass eyes were cool.
Hell yeah.
But it was a fun movie. And if you got in with it and you put on your seatbelt and you rode with it, you were fine. It was what it was. It was a kid's action movie and with a little bit of adult in it, you know, because I personally find the villain so good. It's a little bit harsh, you know, it's a little bit too much.
Yeah.
You know, but they cross some lines. And then
one thing that also I think is this part, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger, like his changing into somebody approachable and somebody that everybody can enjoy and take something out of a performance.
Here's the thing. The funnier the movie is supposed to be, the more ginger his hair is.
Oh, God, that is so true.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Kindergarten Cop. This,
oh my God, Junior. Yeah. If it is a boy, I would.
And then if he's supposed to be a super macho girl, guy,
I would name him Junior.
He's if it's not a comedy, his hair is not red or auburn.
That is interesting.
Yeah,
very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great, so.
Go ahead. That's pretty much all I got about this movie.
Yeah, so what's the next movie going to be, Dean?
Okay. Who's picking it?
Dean?
Our producer. And pick a good one.
I had a little meeting, a little employee like town hall situation. It was fun.
Yeah, did they talk about everything that was awesome?
Not at all. Not anything like that. That was fun. Now that he's out of the room, oh damn it! I was going to talk more wrestling. Pat,
well, have you gotten a new menu? Did you get a new menu yet?
Oh, not yet. We are adding some wrinkles to it with some specials and stuff that you can get at the bar.
Sweet. All right, because I think I'm coming this weekend.
Muted.
So what are you going to watch?
My wrinkles on the menu. They're adding cilantro and parsley to everything.
Oh yes, cilantro and parsley on everything.
Dice are you onions. Gonna go watch Morbius, Jorge?
Isn't Top Gun coming out?
No, Sonic the Hedgehog is the big movie, and then there's one other one coming out this weekend.
Well, what is it?
Morbius. I'm trying to look it up. Sonic is gonna be big. I mean, the first one I don't think people thought was gonna be obviously everybody had some major issues with the render. They had to re-render the character. This time they're adding Tails. And just before, and I don't know if it's like just a promo.
Knuckles too.
Knuckles, yeah. I don't know if it's a promo or just a way to kind of get people to be in on this movie, but Jim that this is probably going to be his last appearance on screen.
Oh, wow. So. Okay, well, I'll tell you what. Hey, Troy, you watching Morbius this Friday?
I probably got to work, but if I don't have to work, yeah.
Okay. All right.
You want to go watch Morbius?
Ambulance. Yeah.
I'll go Ambulance. With you.
Oh, Ambulance, yeah.
And
yeah, Dean, do you wanna watch it too? Are you able to make it out? Oh, you're on mute. Oh, I can't hear you.
I'm not gonna go see that.
You're not gonna go see it?
No.
I probably avoid it as well.
Yeah, Morbius, really?
It's terrible.
Oh no. I was talking about I'm probably gonna watch Morbius for sure.
I'll watch Morbius when it's on HBO. I'm not going to waste gas or money or anything to go see that. The reviews are in and I have no interest in it.
Really? They said it's terrible?
In fact.
Oh, yeah. I got a 14 on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, God.
I only want to see Jared Leto sing from now on, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Even though I did watch a really good movie he was in. And he did an awesome job.
30 Seconds to Mars is amazing.
But I love 30 Seconds to Mars. That's the
favorite thing he does. We should go to a concert.
Yeah. I saw a meme that
also Gucci
that
was really good.
Two of the worst comic book movies.
I want to see that. I want to see House of Gucci.
It's good.
Yeah, it looks cool.
It's good.
So what's the movie of the week going to be next week, Dino?
The movie of the week is going to be 1971's Willy Wonka.
Finally. God, thank you. Wow.
The Candyman.
The Candyman.
That is the first movie of my choice. Of the three movies I've picked, they have all been in different genres.
Genre?
Has anybody done a mashup where like someone says Candyman like three times and then all of a sudden
can we not do that? I'm gonna walk away.
Candyman.
Oh, too late. Die.
Beetlejuice.
Mm-hmm. Biggie Smalls.
When I was a kid, like the movie that scared me more than anything on the planet was Candyman. Because when he cut that boy's
face off, That says a lot about you, bro.
When that little boy went in that bathroom and he cut his thing off. Come on, bro. And that man came out white. Come on, bro. I don't want to.
All right. So did we finish talking about this movie?
Yes, yeah, we're done.
I mean, I guess so. Who did that soundtrack? I feel like the soundtrack was a driving
soundtrack
force.
Soundtrack is awesome.
Movie.
Do you want to hear what the songs are?
Please. Yeah.
Big Gun by AC/DC. I by Alice in Chains. Angry Again by Megadeth. Real World by Creamsryche. Two Steps Behind by Def Leppard. Poison My Eyes by Anthrax. Dream On Live by Aerosmith. A Little Bitter by Alice in Chains. Rock the Hammer by Cypress Hill. Swim by Fishbone. Last Action Hero by Tesla. That's the stupid. And Jack and the Ripper by Buckethead and the Los Angeles Rock and Roll Ensemble. The soundtrack is dope and was at number 7 on the Billboard 200 chart.
Damn.
That's when soundtracks were good, bro.
Yeah, so that
certified platinum in 1993.
Yeah.
Wow.
So this was originally, it's an original screenplay by Zach Penn and Adam Leff, and it was meant to parody.
Zach Penn?
Yeah. To parody typical action film screenplays of writers such as Shane Black. And then Penn noted himself that the studio ironically then had Shane Black rewrite the script.
Yes.
The original script you can find online. It is very much, and he rewrote so much that they were credited with the story of the film, but not the screenplay, which is unusual for a film based on an original screenplay. Carrie Fisher was one of the script doctors.
Wow.
Good old
the original writers and creators did not like the idea of the magic golden ticket. But the story could not explain how he got transported from the film world without it. The magic
golden ticket. I thought that made the movie.
that made the movie? That's the dumbest part of the movie.
Well, it definitely needs to be some situation where he's sucked into it, right?
Yes, but it doesn't need to be magical. It wasn't a magic movie except for that part. Like, it should have been like
a bad guy. They never referenced the guy who's like running, who gives him the ticket, right? Like the ticket guy.
Yeah,
loved Houdini.
Yeah, right, a little weirdo.
Yeah, the pedophile guy.
He's taking us.
He's not a pedophile. He's actually a good actor. Fuck y'all.
Yeah, all y'all.
So this film came out and it moved the date of Jurassic Park.
Ooh, that's Arnold Schwarzenegger's like clout right there.
Yeah.
The movie
Jurassic Park is definitely a better movie than this movie.
100%.
But I give this movie a solid B.
Who played the?
Who what?
Who was the actress that played the sister?
Oh, that was Bridget Wilson. I'm sorry.
I thought we were talking about Willy Wonka still.
Bridget,
who was also the teacher from Billy Madison.
Yeah,
That's right.
She was Arnold Schwarzenegger. I missed that part. She was Arnold Schwarzenegger's sister.
Daughter.
She's hot.
Daughter
in the thing. Okay.
Yeah.
She was also the original Sonya from Mortal Kombat.
Yeah. And also in Billy Madison.
That's right.
What's fucked up is you see the son in the first one and you never see the son again. Like his son, because you know his son stabs one dude in the fucking leg with the grenade knife.
That's right.
You know, like, where is that? If we're still in the movie world and he has a daughter.
No, watch the movie. The son died.
Yeah, he got killed. That's the whole point. He's trying to get revenge.
Oh, did he
pull him? Couldn't hold him. Remember he slipped out.
Grabbed him as he got stabbed in the leg.
He got grabbed
and pulled him off with him.
Oh, okay.
You watched that today?
Yeah, I watched it today. I saw the damn movie. My bad.
Hey, kids, don't do drugs.
The dude had silver axe.
We talked about doing our own PSAs. Hell yeah.
Just got one.
That's right. That's right. All right. Warm up to get into our three of a kind. Jorge set it up for us. I'm a knock on the door.
All right, this week's three of a kind is going to be our favorite vehicles that have been in a movie. Now, here's the premise. It has to have four wheels. It can't be like a hovercraft, like a man. You can't say I want a flying Mandalorian or some shit like that, all right? I'm saying it has to have four wheels in a movie. And I know I said sci-fi, but when I meant sci-fi, I meant like a floating hovercraft, okay?
Said no sci-fi.
No, so, when I said no.
If anybody chooses a vehicle from a sci-fi film, disqualification.
All hell is going to break loose.
No, told you.
I will screenshot the stuff.
I know when I meant no sci-fi-y stuff, I meant like, because Dean, you always like will be like, okay, well, I want to pick the flying, you know, you can't be a flying thing. It has to be four wheels. I said, look, four wheels vehicle in a movie.
No sci-fi. But, so no Knight like, Rider. No,
DeLorean.
Shut up.
Yeah. Hey.
No Millennium Falcon.
Take sci-fi out of it then. Then don't fucking pigeonhole sci-fi.
It's already been pigeonholed. My research is based on the parameters that was given.
That's not fair. Then I'm out.
Yeah, that is fair.
I'm out.
Because I knew I told you a million times that this was what was going to happen. This was in the group text all week.
No, sci-fi,
controversy.
Man.
All right, let's go.
All right,
I'll go with my first one.
We'll go with what we got.
Okay, hold on. Well, hold on a second. I need to tell you the order.
Is he even first?
I'm using sci-fi. Y'all can do whatever.
Fine.
You can't win if you use sci-fi.
Y'all didn't do.
I don't give a fuck about winning.
Hey, did you guys do a three of a kind last week?
Yeah. No, it was a two-parter. We did a three of a kind.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So fine. It's gonna be Dean, myself, Troy, Chris.
All right. So my first one is the USS Enterprise.
I said four wheels. All right. No, go again.
It's got wheels.
I've got a bunch. Hold on. Let me pull my list up. You ever guys ever seen 3,000 Miles to Graceland?
You fucking better.
See it.
Huh?
You better fucking believe it.
It's the 1996 Lincoln Continental. It's a black convertible from 3,000 miles to Graceland. And that, my friends, is the most awesome car of all time in cinema. That's not sci-fi.
Okay, well,
I'm going sci-fi, you fucks.
Okay.
Whatever.
Well, all right, here we go.
You guys want to see a picture of it?
Yes, please do.
Show no comments on the car? I think it's a pretty badass car. Yeah, share it. Share it.
Yeah. Go ahead and share.
Screen here.
That movie, since you brought it up, is a...
When did that movie come out?
Late 90s, mid-90s?
Okay. No, it came out in 2000-something.
All right, really? What car and what movie?
It is...
1966 Lincoln Continental from 3,000 miles to Graceland, starring Kevin Costner and
Kurt Russell,
Courtney...
Cox.
Okay.
That's the one. My buddy Eric just sold his.
Oh, that almost looks like what was in Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. Except this one has suicide doors.
Ooh. Yes.
Ooh. Okay. Nice.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
White tires.
Damn. Mr. Blonde would definitely be driving that shit.
Okay. All right. Well, I am next. I will share my screen and I will show you. Oh, hey. Put the share screen on, please. Host disabled participant screen sharing.
You're good now.
All right, here we go. I'm gonna do Smokey and the Bandit.
Son of a bitch.
The 1977 Pontiac Trans Am.
Damn. Super like.
Nice.
Damn.
Was that on your list, Troy?
Yes, motherfucker.
Yeah. Okay, now
I'm definitely using sci-fi. I don't give a fuck.
That was your only one that wasn't sci-fi, wasn't it, Troy?
No,
I only have one that I don't know if you really consider it sci-fi, but maybe more horror, but I don't know.
Okay, go ahead, Troy. Okay, go ahead.
Oh, my turn. My car is the General fucking Lee.
Damn it.
Just some good old boys. Doing the harm.
Damn. Okay, yeah, that's a super like from me because I had that on my list. Damn it. Okay. Yes, that is a great, I love the car horn. I think that car horn rose to fame after that movie, so... Good choice on that one.
Bustos.
Yes.
You're up next.
Can you take the car off the screen?
Okay, yes. Please. Stop sharing.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, Bustos, I'll pull yours up if you tell me what it is.
Oh, you didn't pull mine up. It's okay. I'm going to go with a classic car. Favorite films.
I have a racist blocker on my browser. I can't pull up anything with...
General Lee doesn't pop up. If a I don't know the year, but it's a Pacer from the 70s. A Pacer and it's Garth Algar's Pacer from Wayne.
Oh wow, that's a good one.
Oh yeah, Wayne
the Flames.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's a good one. Year.
It is from
1975. 453 AMC Pacer.
Yes, sir.
If you're gonna spew in this.
Yeah.
That's right.
There it is.
Okay. That's a good one.
That is a good one. That is a unique vehicle. I'm sure that a lot of people wanted to buy one.
Shit. Hell yeah.
They put so many people in it. Five.
That's one of the things that I love about this. This is the windows. I mean,
the windows and the back
windows. So cool.
It is an explosion waiting to happen. They had to recall them and put rubber bladders in the gas tanks because if you hit it, it would explode.
That's awesome.
That's a good one.
No super likes yet.
And the Queen song they sing in it.
There were two super likes. Classic. I got a super like and Jorge got a super like.
Who super liked? Oh, you super liked each other's stuff?
Is that yes. Got yes.
It. See,
all right. Am I up next?
See writing on the wall.
You are up next, Dean.
Lines right, were wrong.
Continue to share the screen. Mine is the 1961 Ferrari 250 GT SWB California Spider.
Oh.
Most famously seen in Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Oh, God damn.
Super like. Super like it. Because that damn. Is that is sick.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
That's, yeah.
Okay. Damn. Damn.
The car, totally, the car, the car,
totally
the car,
forgot
the car.
About that one. That's a good one. Yeah, definitely awesome. I, you know, as a kid growing up, I felt bad. Okay, what was his name again? Chet?
You're talking about Cameron?
Cameron, yeah. Mm-hmm. Chet was Cameron's from dead. Weird Science.
Yeah, Cameron.
Yeah, Chet was badass too, though.
Yeah, Cameron felt bad. I was like, damn, his dad's gonna beat the crap out of him.
Dude.
Oh, yeah.
I don't Cameron's think like, facial his dad expressions.
Like, I don't know. I don't think he would do it. He would just ignore him or like cut him off or something like that.
No, I think his dad was like a beater. Like I felt like,
no, I just think he was unavailable. He cares about his toys and his mom working in Wall Street and doesn't take any consideration about his life. I think that's where it came. But we're talking cars, right?
Yeah.
Well, I would have beat the crap out of him.
Cameron's facial expressions when that car went out that window, bro. That was super. Yeah.
It was like elation. It was like elation. And then like, holy, I think we've all been, all done thing where like, you're like, fuck yeah. And you're like, oh, fuck, what did I just do?
Yeah. Oh, I've done that a couple times.
Yep. All right. Here's my next pick. I'm going to go with a Dodge 1974 Monaco.
I can't really hear it.
Oh, though. That's a good one.
But it's Bluesmobile.
Oh, my God.
That is
Blues. Yeah, I knew you were going to do that one.
I don't have a super like to give, but God damn it.
I need is half a pack of cigarettes and or a full pack of cigarettes and half a tank of gas.
That's right. Sunglasses at night.
Hit it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. That is a good one.
Thank you. Yeah, from the movie The With Blues the Brothers, I just always thought that this car was very iconic. It actually has magic in the movie. They had to edit out a scene though for this car where, like, you know, the part where they go to Elwood's place and you know, they're gonna sleep for the night at his place. He actually parks it in a garage and he gives this backstory like, yeah, I have to park it in the garage because that's where it gets its magic, you know, because the car could do crazy things, right? It can flip over those Nazi people and stuff, and it was like flying in the air and it could do kind of crazy things. And but you don't
definitely
see that
some of the best car chase movies of all time in this movie.
I love the story of how
the store department
the mall,
stores
they went through the mall. Yes,
that's like
they were not supposed to destroy as much of it as they did.
Oh shit.
That's great. Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a good car. Mm-hmm. My next pick is going to be a van. And it's going to be the A-Team van.
Oh, man. If I had a super like, I was. That was a great one.
That's the A-Team van. Mm-hmm. Very good pick.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Who's
this? This is Troy's pick.
Mine.
Troy's.
Yeah, I have to super like this.
Sci-fi.
Wow.
I already had the picture up because it was my next pick.
Beautiful. The paint job alone is sick as fuck. That is the sickest paint job I've ever seen on a truck or on a van.
The fact that you couldn't even put bullet holes into it.
Amazing. Like it's got a spoiler.
AK-47s at it all day long and not a scratch, not a dent.
D makes the best vans in the history of vans. Let's be real.
DMC, yeah.
GMC and it had fat tires on it.
We used to have a GMC Explorer, had the pull out bed in the back.
Nice.
You could put the back of it down and
Baracus.
A stands for bad attitude.
That's right.
Hell yeah.
Those chairs are comfy too, man. Those chairs are comfy.
Swivel captain's chairs.
Yeah. A-Team is legit.
Pretty cool.
All right. So who's next? Bustos?
It is. So I am going to go I could have chosen two cars. I'm not going to go with the special car. I'm going to go with the daily driver for this character. Coyote 5-liter V8, 1973 from Driver, the movie Driver. Whenever he did drive, he used his 2011 Ford Mustang GT, but his daily driver, and it was a beater. It was nice, but it was just like primer, very low key. But that movie's so dope. And, you know, that scene. And he's got
Malibu. The is girl. That what you're talking about? The Malibu?
The Malibu. Yeah. Right. We're on the, you know, like in T2, like they have the cool scene where the, in that same part, and I think they use that same location, the movie Grease. It's in California where they have those, like, I guess, aqueducts or whatever. It's the one right there on the top right on the left.
LA River? That,
yeah, that scene right there is, that's so cool. That's the one right there. No. Yeah, the one top left. The right one. I'm sorry. Yeah, that one. You just had not over white one there. You just keep on skipping. Wow, I guess it looks different on yours. That one right there. That one right there. That scene right there is so dope. The music is amazing. That whole, like, everybody's had driving just like almost like euphoria. The music hits right. You're an open, like nobody else is around, and you can just kind of transcend and go to another place. And that's what that scene's about to me.
Yeah, I think the music makes that movie.
Fuck yeah.
And that's a pretty cool LA River driving. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So then it's Dean's turn.
Dean's turn. All right. Here we go.
Last pick.
Here.
Sense is killing me. Oh, I got
technically it's a 1979 Ford LTD Country Squire wagon, but in the movie it is a Wagon Queen Family Truckster.
From the Family Vacation?
Yes, indeed. From Family Vacation.
Nice. That's a good pick. I can't diss anything because they're good picks. There's nothing.
God. Jesus. Yeah.
Oh, damn. That is really damn good.
That's a good pick, bro.
It's amazing.
Yeah. I liked it when there's Honky Lips written on the side as well. That's also good stuff.
Oh, man. That's awesome.
All right, Jorge, what you got?
All right. I'm going to go. Let's see.
Dean, I just sent you my next pick, by the way.
I'm going with a 1992 Mustang from Boys in the Hood.
Okay.
Ooh.
Looks like this.
Yeah, that's a 5.0 is what that is, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
A 5.0. I have knew a few couple people who had one of those, not decked out like that.
Yeah,
pretty sick.
Oh shoot. Well, anyhow, I always thought that car was really cool.
Hell yeah! So. It has a rag top. It's got a rag top. It's got fat wheels. They're gold.
Totally California.
Definitely lowered.
Oh yeah.
Dope.
So there.
Dope. So I was going to go and cause some drama and go ahead and go on something. Because and I don't even know if
at this point, it don't matter, right?
Horror, sci-fi. Well, I'm not going to pick that because y'all have actually inspired me to not just pick a car that's a gimmick, that's a car, like, but to pick a good, a nice, cool car. And so I'm going to do that.
From Driving Miss Daisy.
No,
sticking with that racist theme.
No, I want the yellow car that Mr. Miyagi gives to.
Okay, I'll pull it up. Hold on.
Dang, what is that car?
Nice. That's like what is that shit?
Like a 57 something. I don't know. It's
like a Schwinn. It's like a Huffy.
I don't know.
What is the car from Karate Kid? It is a 1947 Super Deluxe convertible.
Ooh, Super Deluxe. 1947, made by Tucker.
Wow.
No, it's a Ford.
I know.
Good pick. Good pick there, Troy. However, fuck, man, you did it again, you son of a bitch. He's got two Super Likes, FYI. Tucker. And all the Super Likes are gone.
I'm talking myself into that one, damn it, even though I said okay, another one. That's dope. That is dope. Like, is that the car you would have picked, though? Let's be, you had the pick like him. Is that the one you went for?
Yeah. Well, that or the truck.
Yeah. Dope, too.
Yeah.
The truck is good.
I like Woody. I think he had a couple of that could have been like that blue one over there in the back, that Woody. Pretty dope.
That's fun,
yeah.
Yeah, that one or the one next to it. You could put your surfboards on top of that one.
He had the dopest. Like, how did he get all those cars?
Because, man, he just took care of them. Like, I'm sure he got them for, you know.
Yeah.
They were classics in the 80s. Because he had
Danielson out there working on them. Mm-hmm. Danielson was out there doing his shit, by the way, repping.
Highly waxed cars.
Yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It was immaculate.
All right, so outside. I was gonna go with something super obscure because I am, but instead I talked myself into something else super obscure. I'm gonna go with the movie Tucker. This is a great film. If you hadn't seen it, Tim Robbins is a guy who has a dream to build his perfect car, and everybody block him from doing it because as like all the
man do the Model 48. Is that the one you're wanting to want? The main car? Okay.
The main car. The Tucker.
Tucker Model 48. There it is.
Can't hold Jeff Bridges down, guys. That's just not the kind of guy he is. Look at that motherfucker.
This is not even my favorite car in the movie. That is a future. It is awesome. It's the first car with seatbelts, shatterproof windshields.
Nice.
It's the first car with a moving headlight. When you move the steering wheel, the headlight in the middle moves to where you're pointing the car. He was the most innovative car designer of his time, shut down by the big automobile makers.
That's right.
Great movie too.
Great movie.
Nice. The
car is cool.
Hell yeah! That, you know, and there were no disses today. How that was. That's love. No, yeah. Everybody appreciate.
I wanted to really, really badly, but I decided in prosperity not to go ahead. So,
what do you want to
diss the General Lee? No one dissed the General Lee.
Which one were you thinking about dissing?
Wow,
General Lee,
you guys are just as good as the Oscars audience.
No, but look,
no morals, hypocrites.
Yep,
all around,
just some good old boys.
Yeah, Tucker Carr is good. All right, any honorable mentions?
Yes, I do. I have one.
Yes.
Another Pacer is what I was going to do with, but I decided against it.
Isn't it the same year?
It's the same year.
I think it's 1975. That's probably the
only year. Maybe that's the only year they made them. But this is a brown one, and it's pallbearer. And the whole movie kind of is centralized around the car that he gets from somebody he went to high school with. His mom thinks him with another person by the same name, went to the same school and everything, and she thinks it's his son's like bad out of there, but he didn't really know him. But he gets that car for because she knew she didn't know who else to give it to, and then I think it starts on him on this crazy weird adventure.
Yeah, I got a car from the movie Good Will Hunting. Will Hunting's
car. Nice.
That he gets for his birthday.
Hell yeah, dude. That's a great car.
That's dope. My honorable mention is...
How you like them apples, right? Ribba?
Yeah. You like apples? How you like them apples? My honorable mention was the Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters.
God damn.
Now,
that's sci-fi, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
That's why I didn't say it.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good car.
Let's do a quick round sci-fi only, just for fun.
Okay, cool.
You just went. Sci-fi. Okay, fine. So you go first, Ecto. Okay, mine's gonna be obviously the Batman 1988 car.
Ooh, Batman 1988.
1989 Batmobile.
Hey, 1989, I'm sorry.
Got you.
Yep. Dean?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the car from Blade Runner, man. Wow. Cop car.
Ooh, cop car from Blade Runner.
Okay.
Chris, what you got, Bustos?
I'm going to go with the taxi cab from Fifth Element.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yep.
That's so, and we'll make this quick. I am going to go with the Back to the Future DeLorean.
Knight Rider car, Kit.
I'm going to go with Misty. The car that kills people.
That's Christine.
Are you talking about Christine?
Christine.
There's a couple cars that kill people.
Christine. I was just, that's a good one. Christine's a good one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the homemade spaceship from the Explorers.
Ooh, okay, one more quick round.
Wait, no.
flying vehicles. Flying vehicles only.
You already picked a flying vehicle.
All right.
Who?
Your taxi cab.
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's a different one.
All right, famous flying vehicles. One more time. Here we go. Mine is going to be Knight Rider. Oh, yeah, I already said Kit. I'm gonna
flying
go
cars.
With flying cars. Did or we already say the DeLorean?
Yes.
Yeah. Fuck. All right, skip me, pass.
This concludes the entire library of sci-fi that Jorge has ever seen.
Right. I'm going with the radio flyer.
Oh, yes.
The one that they made out of a wagon?
Yes. Fuck.
Good movie.
Oh my god. So scary.
Wow.
And speaking of good movies,
I'm going with the F-14 Top Gun.
Nice. Tomcat.
Tomcat.
Okay. That's good.
All right. What you got? You froze out. Speaking of good movies,
you want to do TV Sucks?
Yes, please.
All right. Alright, so, good movie. In the realm of Radio Flyer, the new Richard Linklater movie that's on Netflix that is being overlooked is fantastic.
What's it called?
Apollo 10 and a half.
Is it a funny movie, a serious movie?
It is a love letter to growing up in the suburbs of Houston during the space age of the Apollo missions.
Hell yeah.
By Richard Linklater. So if you grew up in Texas and you're
in a film
our age or older, you will appreciate this movie.
He also did the really cool flick where it's called, I think it's called A Boy's Life. No, that's a different movie. This I can't remember what it's called, but he casted a young actor and they made a film
Boyhood over
a decade. 20 years? I think 2 decades maybe. Yeah. I think. And he went from boy to man in this movie, and they would just film a little bit at a time over that period, and everybody aged naturally that was involved in the film. An unbelievable commitment from everybody involved with the flick. It's a really good movie.
Yeah, I saw that one. It was good.
Good shit. Hell yeah.
And we'll just take Ethan Hawke as the dad in that movie. And
oh my God. And then go right into Moon Knight. Please. Yeah. Yes, hell yeah.
Did you watch Moon Knight yet, Jorge?
I have not. I was traveling to Mexico,
you were,
man.
You were. First off, the title character is played by
Oscar Isaac,
who's a badass. I mean, in so many different roles. I think he plays it really fun. Why don't you kind of shine a light on the character? Moon Knight, it's not, I think, super known to a lot of people. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, he's kind of like Marvel's Batman in some ways. But also he's very cool for other reasons.
I love Egyptian shit. Like, I'm all about ancient, you know, ancient aliens, you know, all that stuff. You know?
Hey, this is definitely has strong ties to Egyptian mythology. So the cool thing about this one is Stephen Grant and Mark Spector are the same guy. It's like a little bit of a Fight Club situation with Edward Norton and
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, so you take that kind of dynamic where the other one doesn't know what the other personality is doing, and they also happen to be possessed by the Egyptian god of vengeance.
Yeah.
Who is voiced by F. Murray Abraham, who was also in Last Action Hero. And then Ethan Hawke plays the bad guy. So now we've got Vincent D'Onofrio in the Marvel Universe as
Kingpin.
And his best friend is Ethan Hawke in real life. And now he
is know that, by the way.
Yeah, they're best friends.
That's awesome.
And Ethan Hawke is now in the Marvel Universe as well as Arthur Harrow. He's the main villain for this.
One of the things that I think I saw in some interviews that I found very fascinating is that because there's not a lot, he's not as well known, and because there's a lot of different reasons why they can like attack this or approach this in a different way, because it's not as super connected to everything else in the Marvel Universe. It's kind of its own thing. I'm sure there's going to be some crossover stuff, and we're going to be introduced it'll probably be introduced into another storyline at some point, but for the moment, it's its own thing. They're taking stuff from the actual comics and stuff, but they're also changing things up a little bit and creating something kind of new with it. And I think it's really cool.
Speaking of F. Murray Abraham, has anybody watched the show that's on Apple that Rob McCordry does?
I've been meaning to get to it. I haven't gotten to it yet, but I've
heard F. Murray Abraham is on that show, and he is awesome.
He's awesome in Amadeus too. Like,
well, yes, he is.
That movie.
Trust him, but whatever.
Did we talk about Moon Knight yet?
That's what we're talking about right now. Do you have any thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, I watched it today. It was, you know, I mean, you got the. All we really have really seen is the pre-story, because we don't really see Moon Knight until the van. But I thought it was cool.
Yeah,
a lot of questions were answered. I love his accent because that's not really him. Like, but then when he looks in the mirror and you really hear him, you're like, oh my god, this is amazing. They're gonna let, oh my god, and. So, yeah, I kind of got a little fanboyish.
I saw a meme that said that, you know, and I know that this story predates the movie Split, but a lot of people are kind of, you know, making the comparison, because he and the character in Split has dissociative disorder, where all the characters that he is or all the people that he is don't know anything about each other, and they're all different. That was when they talked that whole movie.
Oh, they know about each other. They know about each other. They're all sitting in a circle
inside, but like they're all independent of each other, though. They can hide things from
each other. They grab the light
and they can hide things from each other.
So, my favorite part of this is that I've read Moon Knight comics for a very long time. More than once, I've read several stories. They're very good. But with the addition of F. Murray Abraham's voice, this is one of the few comic book shows where I've been very familiar with it and like thought, oh, this is actually better.
Nice.
As far as like better than what I imagined.
My comic book experience with Moon Knight is the crossovers he does with Deadpool. And there's some pretty good crossovers.
Nice.
So
yeah, he's pretty brutal too.
Yeah.
I mean, you get to see a glimpse of that when he beats the crap out of this whatever that creature was at the end. That's the cool thing. They don't show him till the end, and then you get a little bit of what he's about like in a couple seconds, and I love that.
Like So in the comics, and I guess in the show, so Mark Spector is the mercenary side,
mm-hmm.
and Khonshu is the Egyptian god of vengeance. Mm-hmm. So he thinks he's getting this badass dude, and he doesn't know about the split personality until he's in there.
Oh, so that's that is a wrinkle. I don't. Maybe they'll show. I don't know. That's I why love he's that. Like. I didn't
like
know
when
that.
When he's fighting, he's like makes the sense. Idiot. The idiot is in control now.
Yes.
Like, so
wow. Know. So just off chance, he grabs this avatar, and this avatar so happens to have this disorder.
Yes.
Wow. And that's funny.
Wow. Yeah,
it's funny. That's why he says, "Oh, the idiot." You hear the voice say, "The idiot is in charge now."
Yeah.
And that's the god, that's the Egyptian god of vengeance.
That's fucking funny.
Khonshu. He's the guy that is the death, the long,
the crazy mask. Looking motherfucker. Yeah.
So he's all crazy. They're all in there.
I don't really understand fucking what's his nuts character.
So he's the other god. So he's the avatar of another
Ethan
god.
Ethan Hawke, the bad guy?
Yeah, Ethan. Yeah, the bad guy.
The god that he serves or is or whatever. Is someone that is like almost like precogs in Minority Report. They judge people before they do these things. She can see the past and the future and will judge you based upon that, even though you can still have time to maybe change that. But that there's no for that god, there's no room for error.
Well, it's the scales, the balance, the scales, like exactly. The scales were great. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to remember what Egyptian god that is. Dean, can you look that up?
Yeah,
they reference him or her.
Amit, the Egyptian god Amit.
Amit. But yeah, and then like the whole pain thing is interesting. That comes from the character that Ethan Hawke is portraying. It was just kind of an obscure character from the Moon Knight. But he does this thing in the opening scene is he takes a glass, he drinks some water from it, he shatters it, and then puts the glass, the broken bits of glass, in his sandals and walks around like that all day.
Also, that was Ethan Hawke's idea.
Are you serious? What a fucking...
Yeah.
I can't wait to see his other movie. Oh my God, he's going into some weird places lately.
He's always gone to the weird places, man.
The Red Phone? Oh my God. Is that what it's called? Something like that. It looks scary. He plays an abductor. With the weird mask. It looks really creepy. What else are we watching, y'all?
I watched Greek.
Oh, Bridgerton, yeah. They just ended season two. It just came out. Yeah,
watching that with the wifey.
You said, what were we watching, Troy?
Greek. I'm about to be down with Greek.
Oh,
yeah, I love that show. It's a good show.
There's a new show that I just started. Have you ever been watching a Christopher Walken movie and said, I wish he would do TV?
Oh.
Have I got the show for you? It's called The Outlaws, created by Stephen Merchant, who you may recall is the person that created The Office with Ricky Gervais.
Yes.
It's on Amazon Prime. It's got Stephen Merchant's in it, and he's the main writer, and Christopher Walken steals the show. It is about seven people that get put on, have to do community service hours for probation.
I think I've seen this. That's nuts.
Dude, Christopher Walken's lines are gold.
Mm.
I feel like the script is written by Stephen Merchant, just putting in stuff like What have you wanted to hear Christopher Walken
Ladies
say?
Man. That's my favorite Stephen Merchant stuff. Have you ever seen that on HBO?
Yeah, Ladies Man on HBO is pretty funny. Stephen Merchant plays a lawyer who gets busted for solicitation of a prostitute.
Is it like Community, basically, kind of in a weird way?
No, because there's like an actual like ongoing underlying story.
Storylines, yeah, I got you.
But you also have flashbacks to what everybody gets in trouble for, too.
Mm. That's fun. That's always fun.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. I mean, if you're a fan of British television, you'll see a ton of people that are recognizable, you know, from different series on the BBC or Channel 4 or whatever. But yeah, I started watching it. I'm on season 2. My dog has a new squeaky toy.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can hear that.
No.
And it's very, I've loved, I'm on two episodes and it's very good.
Hell yeah. Can't wait to check it out. I caught up a little bit on American Idol. It's called
The Outlaws.
The Outlaws on Amazon Prime.
Amazon. Okay.
I've been watching American
Idol. Yeah, American Idol was on tonight, right?
Yeah, it's been on for a while. I'm way behind, but I'm going to catch up. Just seen like maybe the first like three or four episodes or two or three episodes. But a lot of legacies coming through, which is pretty crazy. Aretha Franklin's granddaughter, a couple other people that are related to really, really famous ass people.
Yeah, but she didn't make it.
She didn't make it. But that's the thing I think is very interesting. You know, and some of the performances are unexpected. So I'm very, it's so far so good. And then, man, I love the personalities on the show too. They always do a really good job. Lionel Richie is like,
you go out and stream the
royalty.
You stream the new Julian Lennon album?
I mean, no, but I'll check it out.
Okay, well, that's the same kind of difference. I mean, we're talking about
obscure.
They're not the same people just because the daddy is.
Oh, yes, yes. Good point. Very, very good point. Very good point. Speaking to that, I thought one thing that not to kill Dean here, but one little wrestling thing I want to throw in the Mysterios, like, so I know Rey Mysterio is Rey Mysterio, but Dominic Mysterio has to be Dominic Mysterio. Like, really, we're doing that? Why can't it just be Dominic? Dominic Mysterio? Like, that's literally how they had to refer to him. Like, the
what's
whole
your dad's
time.
Name.
it's not a say real last
dad's,
name.
What's your dad's real name?
It's not a real last name.
Charles
like
Bustos.
Mysterio, it's not Rey. It's not on his driver's license, Rey Mysterio.
Okay, well, neither is neither is Charlie Sheen.
Yeah, right. I feel you. Good point.
Go with the family.
Real name is Esteban.
First time. Father and son are held the tag team champions. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But then they lost it.
They're going with the family tie.
All right. So,
how does that work now? The Miz and Jake Paul, are they going to have a thing?
Yes, they will.
Viacom Dios. I have nothing to add to any of this.
Yes.
Show.
No, no. It's all good.
All good.
All right. Look, two more shows. Julia.
Julie. Oh, yes.
Okay.
It's like almost like Julia is a completely different thing.
Oh, it's like that, kind of. But it's like, okay. It's Julia Childs. It's the story. It's got. what's his name from Frasier? David Hyde.
Pierce,
yes. He's her husband. It's got a lot of food porn because she's a cook. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Julia Child, but it's very good. And yes! Then
I love Julia Childs.
And there's a show called Chad that's been on TBS. It's on HBO now. The first full season is on HBO. You can watch it there. It's Nassim. It's the Pedrad? Chick from Sign Out. Yeah.
Yeah, Nassim Pedrad. She's
She was on Sign Out Live. Her first line, she dropped the F-bomb on Sign Out Live.
Got fired like
no,
a
no,
motherfucker.
No, that wasn't her. That was another
Did
girl.
She get fired?
Was that Jenny Slate?
No, yeah, that Jenny Slate. Yeah. That was Jenny Slate.
Never mind.
No, but Jenny Slate. Hear me? Yes. Jenny Slate, though, does have a movie coming out. A23 is doing her old character, the Shell. Marcel gets his own movie. So that's pretty fucking dope.
Well, this one is that Nassim Pedrad does is she plays a prepubescent freshman high school kid in Southern California. Oh,
okay, I've seen
She's
that.
A boy named Chad. And there's some of it that made me laugh a whole lot. Just some, it's just one of those things. Like he's trying.
It's shit you hear your kids say, is that, and it just makes you laugh.
Basically. No, it's just like
I saw like
you want to be so cool, and you think that this is what's going to make you cool.
It's not a vape. It's just my
USB. It's a USB.
It's a USB. Yeah.
Why'd you do that? And he's like winking at people. He's like, "Don't do that to me." There's just like a whole bunch of awkward stuff. So. He's from
like Pen 15 or whatever. It's kind of like that.
Yes, I think that's why I like it so much because I love Pen 15.
Yes,
I think that the people that make that show are brilliant for casting themselves as junior high
like
kids,
strangers with candy, like that kind of shit.
Also,
like,
yeah, I love that too.
Really good stuff.
Man, yeah, Chad was pretty funny. And
boy, I'm glad you at least took your camera off.
Mute that as well.
My bad. I thought I was muted already.
It's all good, brother.
Hey, at least I did the camera.
You
off.
Did. You did, and I appreciate that.
Let's see what else. That's it for what I've watched, I think.
Well, USFL. I mean, I rewatched Fight Club. I'm excited about that. I'm gonna watch that too.
I watched. So Deacon's birthday was this weekend.
Happy birthday, bro.
We talked about Moon Knight, and then I said, "Have you guys ever seen Fight Club?" And they're too young to have seen Fight Club. Mm-hmm. I knew the answer to that, so we watched Fight Club.
Very and Deacon. Cool. What did they think about the? Did they have any thoughts? Or are they still kind of mulling it around?
I think Rowan kept continually saying, "This is so weird." How long is this movie? and then about the time Project Mayhem starts up, he just walked out of the room.
Oh yeah.
Deacon thought that Meatloaf was hilarious.
Yes.
Yes. The boobies, Bob.
Bob. His name is Robert Olsen.
And I think you have to be older to fully appreciate it. I think
yeah, they're not even beaten now, down with life yet. They haven't had to work a 9-to-5, like a part-time job, you know?
They've not worked ever. So it was not appreciated, I think, on the level that it should have been. However, whenever the fights were happening on, they were just like, oh, God!
Yeah,
and,
they're brutal. They are brutal.
Yeah. And I mean, it's realistic, I think.
Can we keep the room, Sid? Can we keep the room?
You don't know what happened.
Since you showed him that. Blah, blah. Since you showed him that, you need to show him Snatch.
Oh.
That might be another one to watch.
That's a good one. That is a good one. All right, boys. Another awesome episode. Probably going to have to cut this one into two as well, but we'll be back next week for pre-show.
It's already cut into two.
It's already cut into two. How about that?
We had a little recording mishap.
I love that. Thank you. You make my job easier. I appreciate that. Happy accident.
That's like a wrestling show, and then there's a type of show.
It's only an hour and four.
You can drop one as a wrestling special. WrestleMania. Yeah,
2 hours.
No, maybe we'll do that, and we'll pick back up next week. Maybe we'll do that.
2 hours, 15 minutes.
We'll check
there's
it out, guys.
There's a good hour where I say about three things.
I bet your favorite show.
Troy did a lot of wrestling talking.
Okay, he was on fire. He's waiting for it. All right, y'all. Thank you for hanging out with us. Please check us out on all the socials: Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
Share us, like us, tell everybody about the show. Mm-hmm. We're trying to grow it, so please do that part, and we appreciate everybody who does listen to us. Thank you so much.
What Willy Wonka?
Willy Wonka. Oh, we're gonna be doing. We're going to eventually, I don't know when, but we're going to do a live movie of the week watch party. Look.
Whenever you're ready, let me know.
Cool beans.
All right, peace.
Peace out, y'all.
Later.
Bye, con Dios.
Bye, con Dios.
Bye, con Dios, motherfucker.
Hi, this is Randy with Big Salinas Barbecue. Just wanted to tell you we now have our award-winning barbecue sauce for sale. We have been cooking up delicious barbecue and sauce since 2014. You can now purchase a bottle at BigSalinasBarbecue.com or visit Chart 380, Joe's Meat Market, Outdoor Grill Sales, Mushak's Meat Market, or the barbecue store to pick up a bottle today. Follow us on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Big Salinas Barbecue.
Hey, it's me again. You know what I love? Pop culture and nonsense. It's so fun. I found a podcast that has pop culture and nonsense. And the podcast is so fun. I love it. And I think you will too, if you like those two things that I have previously mentioned. Pop culture and nonsense. The podcast is called Good Vibes, and it comes out every Wednesday. I think you will enjoy it most assuredly. It's on the Good Podcast Network, if you know what I'm saying.
Every Wednesday, wherever you get your favorite podcast.